Chapter 57. Nehemiah's Painful Work of Reformation. This chapter is based on Nehemiah 13. The people of Judah had pledged to obey the law of God, but when the influence of Ezra and Nehemiah was for a time withdrawn, many departed from the Lord. Nehemiah had returned to Persia. During his absence from Jerusalem, evils crept in that threatened to pervert the nation. Idolaters contaminated the very precincts of the temple. Through intermarriage, a friendship had been brought about between Eliashib, the high priest, and Tobiah, the Ammonite, Israel's bitter enemy. As a result of this unhallowed alliance, Tobiah occupied an apartment connected with the temple, which had been used as a storeroom for tithes and offerings. Because of the treachery of the Ammonites toward Israel, God had declared that they should be forever shut out from the congregation of his people. See Deuteronomy 23, verse 3-6. In defiance of this, the high priest had cast out the offerings stored in God's house to make a place for this enemy of God and his truth. Greater contempt for God could not have been shown. On returning from Persia, Nehemiah took prompt measures to expel the intruder. I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers. And thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God. The temple had been profaned, and the offerings misapplied. This had discouraged the liberality of the people. The treasuries of the Lord's house were poorly supplied. Many employed in the temple, not receiving sufficient support, had left the work of God to labor elsewhere. Nehemiah set to work to correct these abuses. This inspired the people with confidence, and all Judah brought the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil. Men who were counted faithful were made treasurers, and their office was to distribute unto their brethren. Another result of mingling with idolaters was a disregard of the Sabbath. Nehemiah found that the heathen merchants coming to Jerusalem had induced many Israelites to engage in traffic on the Sabbath. Some could not be persuaded to sacrifice principle, but many dared openly to violate the Sabbath. In those days, Nehemiah writes, I saw in Judah men treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in heaps of grain and loading them on asses, and also wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. Men of Tyre also, who lived in the city, brought in fish and all kinds of wares and sold them on the Sabbath to the people of Judah. RSV. The leaders had favored wrong. A desire to advance their own interests had led the rulers to favor the ungodly. What evil thing is this that ye do, and profane the Sabbath day? Nehemiah sternly demanded. Did not your fathers thus? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. He then gave command that the gates of Jerusalem should be shut before the Sabbath, and not opened again till the Sabbath was passed. The merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice, hoping to traffic with the people. Nehemiah warned them, Why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. Now Nehemiah turned to the danger from intermarriage and association with idolaters. In those days, he writes, saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab, and their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language. Some men who entered into unlawful alliances were rulers to whom the people had a right to look for counsel and example. Foreseeing the ruin before the nation if this evil continued, Nehemiah pointed to the case of Solomon. Among all the nations there had risen no king like this man, yet idolatrous women had turned his heart from God, and his example had corrupted Israel. Shall we then hearken unto you, Nehemiah sternly demanded, to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? Their consciences were aroused, and a work of reformation was begun that brought God's approval and blessing. Some in sacred office pleaded that they could not bring themselves to separate from their heathen wives, but no respect was shown for rank or position. Whoever refused to sever his connection with idolaters was immediately separated from the service of the Lord. A grandson of the high priest, having married a daughter of the notorious Sanballat, was not only removed from office, but banished from Israel. Constant struggle with opposing elements. How much anguish of soul this needed severity cost the faithful worker for God, the judgment alone will reveal. Only by fasting, humiliation, and prayer was advancement made.
Many who had married idolaters chose to go with them into exile and join the Samaritans. Some, who had occupied high positions in the work of God, cast in their lot fully with them. The Samaritans promised to adopt more fully the Jewish faith, and the apostates, determined to outdo their former brethren, erected a temple on Mount Gerizim in opposition to the house of God at Jerusalem. Their religion continued to be a mixture of Judaism and heathenism, and their claim to be the people of God was the source of enmity between the two nations from generation to generation. In the work of reform today, there is need of men who, like Ezra and Nehemiah, will not excuse sin. Men who will not hold their peace when wrong is done, nor cover evil with a false charity. Severity to a few may prove mercy to many. They will remember also that in the one who rebukes evil, the Spirit of Christ should ever be revealed. Ezra and Nehemiah confessed their sins and the sins of their people as if they themselves were the offenders. Patiently they toiled and suffered. That which made their work most difficult was the secret opposition of pretended friends who lent their influence to the service of evil. These traitors furnished the Lord's enemies with material to use in their warfare on his people. Their rebellious wills were ever at war with the requirements of God. Nehemiah's success shows what prayer, faith, and wise action will accomplish. Nehemiah was not a priest. He was not a prophet. He was a reformer. It was his aim to set his people right with God. As he came into contact with evil and opposition to right, he took so determined a stand that the people could not but recognize his loyalty, his patriotism, and his deep love for God. Seeing this, they were willing to follow where he led. Industry in a God-appointed duty is an important part of true religion. Decisive action at the right time will gain glorious triumphs, while delay and neglect result in failure and dishonor to God. If the leaders show no zeal, if they are indifferent, the church will be indolent and pleasure-loving. But if they are filled with a holy purpose to serve God and Him alone, the people will be united, hopeful, eager. The pages of God's Word that describe the hatred, falsehood, and treachery of Sanballat and Tobiah describe also the devotion and self-sacrifice of Ezra and Nehemiah. We are left free to copy either as we choose. Nehemiah's today lead out in Sabbath Reformation. The work of reform carried on by Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah presents a picture of a work of spiritual restoration in the closing days of this earth's history. Through the remnant of Israel, God purposed to preserve in the earth a knowledge of Himself. They were the guardians of true worship, the keepers of the holy oracles. Strong was the opposition they had to meet, heavy the burdens borne by the leaders. But these men moved forward in firm reliance on God, believing that He would cause His truth to triumph. The spiritual restoration of which the work in Nehemiah's day was a symbol is outlined in the words of Isaiah. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Isaiah 58, verse 12, RSV. A breach has been made in God's law. The wall that He placed around His chosen ones for their protection, and obedience to whose precepts of justice, truth, and purity is to be their perpetual safeguard. The prophet points out the specific work of this remnant people who built the wall. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. Isaiah 58, verse 13, 14, RSV. In the time of the end, every divine institution is to be restored. The breach made in the law at the time the Sabbath was changed by man is to be repaired. God's remnant people are to show that the law of God is the foundation of all enduring reform. In clear, distinct lines, they are to present the necessity of obedience to all the precepts of the Decalogue. Constrained by the love of Christ, they are to cooperate with Him in building up the waste places. They are to be repairers of the breach, restorers of paths to dwell in.